Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 32. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth, collegiate, professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is currently a junior at Union University in Tennessee, where he is a captain of their Frisbee team, Jax. He has also been known to run some of the smoothest handler movements in the Southeast region, introducing Connor Rigby. Connor, thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. This episode's our New Year's episode. So happy New Year's to you. Hope you had a great break with your family, kind of just relaxing away from school. But, you know, whenever you hear New Year's, people think of New Year's resolutions. So coming to this spring semester for you, it's a big year. You're a captain here on your team. Do you have any Frisbee-related New Year's resolutions or goals for yourself individually?
I think one big thing for me is that, so last regionals, and not a lot of people know this, I think in January of last year, I tore part of my meniscus before, and so I got surgery on it, and they just shaved it out. And so they shaved it out, and I was out for about 6 weeks, and then I came back probably 2 weeks before regionals started playing. So I haven't been really like back in shape since then. So I'm trying. So I think trying to get back in shape. And another one is not throwing the discus away as much, because this past tournament I had, I think, around 19 throwaways, which wasn't the best, but yeah, I made up with it with the amount of assists that I had. So I was happy with it, but probably just be more consistent with the disc.
That's it. First off, incredible that you're able to still come back from such a severe injury. And for those out there, you know, Connor and I actually played against each other back in April at that regionals that you just mentioned. And the fact that you came back from the injury and still performed the way you did and helped your team out in some very intense games there, that's, I think, a testament to who you are as a player. And then I'll comment here on the, you know, taking care of the disc. That's something I think it's a great goal everyone's looking at. And you mentioned that tournament you just had, I think it was the Cowbell Classic. So could you just break down for us here how your team did, what were expectations going into this tournament, and just kind of recap, how'd this go for your team?
Well, going into the tournament, it's a fall tournament. We want to get guys playing time. We also still want to be competitive. So we went 5-3, I think. So we had some games where it got closer at the end. We're like, okay, we'll play more best seven. And then we had games that were just lopsided the whole way, and we won, and rookies shine in that game. And so the main expectation was get rookies playing time, but also get everyone else playing time. And it was funny because that weekend we were missing two of our side handlers, and so like dump handlers. And so we had, I think, three true handlers and one like kind of hybrid, still kind of learning what a handler is. So I think all of our handlers had 80 plus points that weekend. So it was a long weekend for them, but it was good for all of us just to get that experience. We placed ninth. We beat the team that got second, and that was their only loss, was in the championship and to us, which was crazy. But going to that tournament was just kind of play. We'll place how we place. And getting ninth is pretty good. We were just one spot away from going to bracket. So it was good for a fall tournament.
That's solid, especially with going into the goal of getting those rookies playing time, which is something that's so important when looking at the fall. And in the case of your team over at Union, how many rookies do you guys have come onto the team? And just talk to me about the development of trying to build a chemistry in the fall and just building this team up with so many new guys coming in.
So we had, I think, about 13 returning players, and we added 10 rookies on, and so, which is a really big number for us, and I loved it. And so something that we do at Union is we get granted an amount of money from the university to go perform this sport, even though we're a club sport. So it's good to have money. So what we do is we sign a contract for a year, and you say, hey, you're going to show up to everything that we have that's mandatory. If it's optional, you don't show up, but just so like we're using the money well. And so really helping develop rookies, I think this year has been one of my favorite rookie classes, because they are really good at being very humble about what they need to do, and they're not trying to do over what they need to do. So throws are still a little shaky for some guys, like that's expected, no one really had good throws when they first started. But I mean, all of our rookies are very content going for an undercut, catching the disc, and then dumping it right back to our handler. They're not trying to make this super long throw downfield. Like, they're playing within their game, which I really like and I enjoy.
So it's critical for, you know, success of the team to bring on these new guys and replace the seniors that have graduated and moved on from the college Frisbee scene. And like I mentioned in the intro, you are a captain for the team, Jax, here. How do you view your role of being someone who's had this experience, just to be able to help these rookies, these new guys, especially in the fall when people are learning the game? How do you balance this idea that I need to share, I need to lead, but not to be overbearing in that role? How do you find balance there?
I think one of the biggest things for me is that I've learned throughout my years of like captaining Frisbee. I was captain on my basketball team. Just be everyone's friend. Like, don't like be like in like a coaching role of like, hey, you need to do this and this. Like, don't just be like, hey, I think here you would benefit from like coming under and coming like around me so you can get the disc easier and it'll make your life easier, like, from doing that. So it's not about like having that coaching voice and that coaching tone. It's about being a friend to them, because at the end of the day, when you walk off the field, you're all friends. Like, no captain is higher than another on our team. So we have five captains, three of them. So me and another guy, Joel, are the main captains. And then we have three people that are like kind of not like under us, but just kind of like young leadership that are learning for next year. And then they'll replace our roles. So no one is above anyone at our school. And so I think just being humble about it and just helping these rookies be like, hey, I want you just to succeed here, but it's going to take some time and some grind. Like, it's hard. I think this is the one of the hardest things, is that when everyone watches like a veteran play, they're like, I want to do that, I want to do that. And I'm like, this is my fifth year playing. So I've been around it for a little bit. And so I just like, it's harder to be like, you can do this in like a year. Like, it's not going to happen. And no one's going to really know that. So
that, it's so true. It takes time to develop those skills. And as someone who's played a while, it feels good to be at that level. And I think a pitfall of that you can fall into is not really understanding why people can't be in the same level, but you need to take a sec and put yourself back in the rookie's mindset, rookie's, you know, shoes, basically, and say that can be daunting in a way, even though they do want to succeed and want to grow. So that's really cool. It sounds like the way you're talking here, there's a very unique and very special culture that you guys have on your team. And I can attest to that. Playing against you guys, you know, over at Avery Maria, we speak very highly of your team. And it was probably the nice, like, the most friendly group of guys I think we've ever played against. So just speak to me, define this culture for me that you have, and how do you establish a culture like this?
I think the culture that we have is very unique. I think college Frisbee is the most unique culture you're going to get in the ultimate experience. Like, you can go play club and like you'll know those guys, but you really like know those guys. And like these guys you see every day, like if you room with them, you room with them on campus, and like it's just these bonds that will never break. And so at our school, one of the values that we have is that we're a Christian school, so put God first and then act like our mission is to go out and disciple. And so one of our things is that like when we go play, like attitude is the biggest thing. And so I mean, you talk about like friendliness, like that attests to what one of my goals is on the team, is that we're going to be the friendliest team and we don't want to be chippy. You can be competitive and like get hype and like spike the disc, but if there's, I think one of the things I put out this year was that if you do anything disrespectful, I'm not going to play you for a little bit, because that's not one of our team cultures. And like all the guys like each other, all you guys like being around each other, like going, like driving in cars, like you get to know guys. Like I lived with one of my friends last year. I didn't know him until we drove down to Tallahassee for regionals my freshman year. So I think just attesting just to talking to guys and just kind of hanging around has really just built this culture up.
I think there's really nothing like a group of guys that's out there working hard on a field of any kind, but in this case, obviously Frisbee, and working hard for a goal. There's such a bond that forms there. And You guys are, I think, truly the epitome of that. So props to you guys. That's something that obviously takes a lot of effort to continue a culture like that. And I guess you could say it lines up really well with what the spirit of this game is all about, is just good competition. And it's noticeable to your opponents out there. And before we kind of continue on to where we are current, which is the spring semester, I want to stick on the fall for a little bit longer here. Okay. Now, the fall semester is over, and we're in this Christmas break period, kind of an in-between. And something we've talked about in this podcast is this idea of, like, rest. You come off of all this big learning process that you just had. Now you're in this rest. How important do you think is communicating this idea of rest mentally, physically, but not being a bum out there during Christmas? Right, you got to stay sharp still. So what do you think this balance is for your guys, and how do you communicate that to your team over these 3-4 weeks of break?
So one thing that I really wanted to see is, like I told guys, I was like, hey, like, go be active. I didn't say, hey, you need to do a workout a day, you need to do this a day. I just said, hey, go be active over break, because come the spring semester, like, it's going to show, and practices will either be super rough because you didn't condition, or practices will not be super rough. And so also just being like, hey, like, go hang out with your family and, like, enjoy this time, because I think if you're a freshman or you're a guy that's not super comfortable around campus, home can be a comfort place. And so just kind of like being there and like being home is good. And like, if you're around Frisbee, I know we have some guys from Nashville. Nashville's pretty big, and I'm from Huntsville. So Frisbee's pretty big around here. So we have stuff going on. So I think just like say being like, hey, like know what your body limits are. I think in our group chat, none of our guys did workouts during Christmas, which I was super happy about. Like, enjoy that time with your family. And then I think yesterday guys started posting workouts again. So Christmas Eve and Christmas, guys were like, hey, I'm not going to do anything, which was good. And I really enjoyed it. Everyone got that little break, and everyone's had a break, which is good. So
I like that. It's really important balance. So before we get to the spring semester here, we got a fun this or that type of exercise here. Just rapid fire, two options. I want you to hit me with which one you like better. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Let's do it. So first one, flicks or backhands?
Flicks.
Hammers or scoobers?
Ooh, scoobers.
O-line or D-line?
I'm going to say D-line.
Okay, okay. Vert stack or hoe stack?
Hoe stack.
I love it. Getting the game-winning block or getting the game-winning catch?
Block.
Block. I love it. Love it. And last one here is the big one. You're at regionals, championship game. Is that game beating Barry College or beating Ave Maria?
There's no hate to Barry here, but Barry has beaten us three times, all to go to my freshman year, they beat us twice. I'm going to have to say Barry. There's no hate to Colin. They're a great program, but they've beaten us three times to either go to the championship or to beat us to go to regionals. And it's just the competitiveness in me, just like that revenge game. I want it so bad.
Oh my goodness. You get fired up. I love it. Yeah. I agree with that pick there too. From your case, you know, Barry College is dominating. We've had Colin Hill on this podcast, and Walter Eller, their coach as well. And they really do have a great program. They know what it's about. They know how to compete, and you've competed against them. And I would love could you just diagnose the program, your experience with them real quick?
So my freshman year, I played mixed club, and I played against Roma, which is where a bunch of Barry guys go to play mixed. And then I go into the fall of my freshman year, and I was like, it was a makeup for COVID year. So we went into regionals. I was like, oh, this is Barry team. Like, they look pretty good. I was a freshman, so I played pretty good amount. And one of the guys, it was Walter. And I was like, where have I seen this guy? And I was like, oh, mixed club where every single one of their players and coaches play. And I was like, so they're getting off season work too. And I was like, I just started and they were like 2021. They ran us. Like, there was nothing about it that was going to change. Like, they were good. Like, that was it. And so that program, I respect for their coaches, for their players, the dynasty that they've kind of built a dynasty over there, which I really enjoy. Came with Walter, Caleb Enright, Caleb Gemeiner. No, Caleb. I forget his last name, but I know he's over there. Colin, like that. Those guys have put in the work, and you can see it from. I knew some guys who put on UH when they were D3, and Barry really wasn't a thing. And then 2020, they went, or 2019, they went to regionals, and won. And then they started just going. And so I respect that program a lot. I have a lot of respect for those guys. Especially for Colin. Colin's a really great competitor. Love playing against Colin.
Oh, definitely. Colin Hill, on and off the field. Very, very quality very cool person, quality player. I think we could definitely praise them a lot. They're, I think, random stat. I love stats. I'll throw this out at you. They have the longest active streak of any D3 team to go to Nationals. So Dynasty is right. They're very talented. But, you know, you mentioned playing against them over and over and, you know, falling short just barely a couple of those times. What is it going to take to beat them this year?
I think one of the biggest things is just knowing your team. I think one of the biggest problems that we had at Union is that we hyped up that game a lot and everyone just got scared. And like last year we beat them fall and everyone was like, wait, we can actually beat Barry. And then we lost to them on Uni because of some mistakes. And so I think one of the biggest things is that your team has to be battle tested. Like you have to be in those close games and you have to be ready to like grind out against them. Because like if you're not coming to that game knowing it's going to be a dogfight, you've already lost. Like I don't care which team you are. Like if you're D3 and you have to face Barry, I would heighten it up. And I'm a big like look at Ulti World, see which players they have, see which players play, kind of go watch film on them and like just kind of watch all that film. And so it's crazy. Like I think it's going to be I used to be a fun year at regionals. That's all I'm going to say.
Definitely leave it with that. You mentioned a great point there, being battle tested. That means you got to put yourself in those really competitive games, good, tough tournaments here. So leading up to the regionals here, what kind of tournaments, what kind of stuff are you guys running to get you ready for this?
So we'll just go off of tournaments first. we'll back up a little bit. Especially the Christmas season is in my opinion. Just kind of like telling guys to be active and being like, hey, like this is going to help you a lot in the spring season. I know for me, you had him on the podcast, Brett Holzmeier, since he's in Huntsville. He talked about those morning workouts. I live like 5 minutes down the road from that, from where they do those workouts, and I'll go sometimes.
Nice.
By all means, did Brett have my number that whole first scrimmage? I'd beat him by 2 steps. And he would be at the disc and I'd be like, well, I can't do anything about it. So I think being battle tested, just being ready just to be active. And then the tournament I go to, we're going to T-Town Throwdown in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that'll be all D1 teams, maybe a D3 team here and there, but it should be all D1, all like sanctioned. And so like my goal personally, like if we lose a lot of those games, that's fine by me. Like it shows us that like, we got to get better. And then we're going to D3 Tune-Up, which is a really great place to just learn about a bunch of D3 teams, play a bunch of great competition. I think that will be the biggest learning curve for us is that playing a bunch of D3 teams, how good is each D3 team overall? And then we're thinking about scrimmaging with UAH, or we're going to go to Baylor. And so either one of those would be good. None of those are confirmed yet for us, but either one of those terms would be good. And then just being competitive in practice. Really, like if you push your teammate to your left and your right to be better, or you push the guy you're guarding to be better, the guy guarding you pushes you to be better, like your whole team, the whole culture of your team changes. And so I think being in those tough games and being in those long games and losing, it's going to be the best way for you to learn how to like how your team functions when you're down and like what leads to a comeback and what doesn't work. So you learn that before you go to regionals and you're like, this is our first universe point game of the spring. I don't know what to do. And everyone's freaking out. Like best seven doesn't look comfortable on the line. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things, is that test out guys and make them uncomfortable. So when that time comes, they are comfortable.
that all starts at practice, like you mentioned there. As a captain, I'm sure you have a lot of say in designing what these practices look like for your team. Could you just break down your thought process of getting out there with the guys, how to best serve them in that capacity?
So I think one, so the other captain that does it, Joel, he does more of the practice side, but we all have a say in it, which is good. So I think really it's just the basics. Like if you know the basic fundamentals of going under, running the offense, an S cut, like a deep look, running red zone, I think a lot of that will spring success from guys. I think as a captain, like you can't expect the rookies to be at the same level as your veterans. You can expect the veterans to be at the same level as your rookies, and like your veterans should be the ones helping them out and the ones being like, hey, do this. Like I don't want to be the overbearing voice that everyone hears in the back of their head, don't make this cut, make this cut. And so I think those basics will help those freshmen go a lot farther than a lot of other guys, in my opinion.
I love it. It's facilitating good practice. You got to make sure people are prepared for these big games. And it comes down to the work you put in when you're back on campus, just the group of guys. And I think a big part of this prep, especially when it comes to game day, you've talked about this already, being prepared for those big moments. I think it's the mental side of a sport. Talk to me about being mentally prepared. Does that mean you got to get the guys in a huddle and get them hype up, or is it, time quiet and kind of just preparing yourself internally? Like, what does it look like mentally for you as a player?
For me as a player, going into every game, I think my team can beat anyone. Is that true? Probably not. But I think sometimes, like a lot of the negative self-talk, like, oh, we're gonna lose this game, like then you've already lost if you're gonna say that. But I think getting the guys in the huddle and being like, hey, like this is gonna be a tough game. We should all know that. And if you're on the line, I've seen 110% from you. If it's on D line, if it's on O line, and just like if you make a mistake, everyone makes mistakes. That's one of the biggest things that a lot of guys worry about is like, oh, I made this mistake. I'm like, no, like go look at my stat sheet before you say I threw it away 3 times, and then go look at mine when I threw it away 19 times. Like everyone makes mistakes, and like if you're worried about making a mistake, you're not going to play it 100%. So like play through it, like make a mistake, and like then you'll learn, like I should catch like this next time, or I should throw like this, or I should guard this guy this way. And like if we like play in those big games and be like, hey, let's focus up here, and like if we get down a few points, call a timeout and being like, hey, everyone come here, like we're okay. I know because we played our alum this fall at a tournament, and we were down, I think 0-3, and we called timeout, and I was like, hey, like this is the reality of it right here, is that we either get 2 or 3 breaks or we're out of the game and we lose. Like that's just the reality of it. And I think for me it can be a downfall and a positive side. I can be a hater sometimes, and so that can prove to a point more of like, oh, like he doesn't really want us to win. Like no, I'm just saying, like hey, like if you want to lock in and win this game, we gotta do it right now. And if we're not gonna lock in, like the game's kind of over no matter what.
Hey, sometimes people need a kick in the butt. So, as you captain that, I think that's awesome that you're showing that to your team. And hearing you talk about the alumni game, that's always a great time. We do that down at Ave Maria, and it's such a good way to bring the community back together. Because those are the guys that have poured their sweat into this team, and it's fun to come back and play them. And also, you're playing guys that are typically pretty darn talented, so it's a great
Oh,
matchup
yeah.
there. So it's cool to hear that you have that set up at your side as well. So we covered the fall, we've covered spring here. I want to shift us to just looking at the Southeast region. That's where both of our schools are. That's where Barry is as well. But if you look kind of outside of our three teams, the Southeast division, or Southeast region, I should say, it looks kind of sparse. There are definitely more teams, but it seems like it's a little difficult to get these teams to show out to big tournaments. Last year's regionals, it was just five teams. And I think that's definitely should not be like that. So if you're looking at just the state of Frisbee kind of here in the Southeast region, you've traveled around a lot. You've played at a lot of different tournaments. How do we bolster this? How do we get more teams to show out there and just a better showing, especially at regionals?
I think one of the biggest things is having guys that are committed and having guys that want to play. I know that that's hard because – so I know someone on Spring Hill, and he's, I think, wanted to go to regionals, I think, three times now, four times, and guys have just dropped out because of school. They've been like, hey, I don't want to go to regionals. I have school. And I'm like – I mean, like, yeah, like I do understand school does come first. Like, that is your degree. That is your life. Frisbee is not your life. So that makes sense. But I think just promoting that, like, this is fun. Like, I mean, it's not even like about Frisbee. Like, you're going to get in shape, and it's going to help like your life and just in general. And I know Frisbee's not the biggest and baddest sport of them all, but I mean, Frisbee is fun and I enjoy it. I think just promoting it more that like, hey, like, and I know travel is a lot for some teams, because when we traveled down to Tallahassee my freshman year in the fall, I know y'all came, Florida Tech came, Emeryville came. We went to Barry in the spring. I know y'all didn't come. I know no team was missing, no team wasn't missing. And then this past fall, Florida Tech didn't come. I was trying to think. I thought we had another team. Probably not. But I just think it's gotten scarce because of travel. And I do understand it is a lot if you don't have the money or you're not sponsored. So I just think having guys being like, hey, like, let's go do this. Let's just have fun. Like, I know the Georgia College guys, they had maybe eight or nine guys. I mean, they looked like they were having fun, in my opinion.
Like, were a great group of guys out there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I just think it's about, like, hey, like, this is super fun. You should come try it. And, like, just be like, hey, like, this, like, you'll probably get to play a lot if you come to this tournament. Like, we don't have a lot of people. And so you get a lot of points. And Frisbee is, I think, one of the more taxing sports. After day one, you kind of wobbling around like, oh, this is, especially for some rookies, they're like, that was a lot. And I was like, yep, day one. And everyone's like passing out and just sleeping. So I just think
you're playing four games, right?
Yeah.
You're pretty beat up.
Oh, yeah. So just, I think just getting the word out more of like, hey, this is actually super fun, like, to play and do. Like, you should come out and just try it and, like, just come to this tournament with us.
Def, I couldn't agree more there. I think there needs to be a little bit more of a seriousness when it comes to this region. You know, just to nitpick something, last year it took us a long time to get the tournament dates out for regionals. And I think that probably affects a lot of these teams, and they're trying to figure out their school schedule, their class, their one of their big tests, and how can, you know, if you need a missed class, you know, what does that look like? But it's a struggle when, you know, the tournament dates aren't coming out quickly, or there's just not a lot of information. So I really, you know, just wish hope the Southeast region stays relevant and some good teams, and the travel, like you said, that's a huge thing there. But it's about making sure, you know, it's about fun. It's about having fun out there. A lot of times players aren't going to go on and pursue this, you know, in the ADL or major club team, but you can still have a very memorable, impactful college years playing this sport. So I couldn't agree with you more of just getting the word out, being positive about this community. Yeah. And that kind of brings us to looking ahead here for you personally. What kind of goals do you have with this sport? You're a junior, so you got a little more time in college, but where do you see yourself going with the sport of ultimate?
I think probably just playing club in some league after college is over. I know I've met a lot of people in Huntsville. Huntsville is kind of this like ultimate hub, in my opinion. Like, the people who taught me ultimate are like playing a high level club and going to club nationals and playing the ADL. So I don't think I'll do that, just because, I don't know. We'll see though. I don't know what time will tell, but I think one of the goals that I have is I want to go to college nationals. I want to have some college nationals gear, because I've had teammates that have gone to go watch since our girls team has made it, and they'll get gear. And I was like, I can never go to a tournament and say, I'm going to get this gear because my team didn't make it. And so I think my senior year, at least, because I know next year Colin will be graduated, there's no hate to Colin, but he's a really good player. And it'd be cool to see that very team, what they'll look like after Colin leaves. So I'm hoping either college nationals this year, if not next year. And then I think this summer I'm going to play mixed ultimate, which will be fun with a bunch of my friends from Huntsville. And then, going back for the fall next year, I will not be a captain. We do a thing where we go, you're kind of like a vice president or like a co-president or vice president, or you're like a co-captain, and then you move up to captain or president, and then you're kind of like you're not over leadership, but they have any questions they ask you and you're just kind of out of it. So this is my final year of captaining, which will be good as president, and then I'll move out and let the younger guys take it, which will be fun. So it'll be a lot less stress for me next year, and it'll just be more of just showing up to practice and just being there. So I'm excited for
balling out there. A lot of good. And this is a sport you can play for years and years, right? You can play league or club wherever you're from, and there's people of all age hopping in those circles. So it's a great sport of community that continues beyond college here. And if you could give a piece of advice to a team that is trying to elevate the program, what would you say?
I would say really like focus on getting really good at the basics. Because if you're really good at the basics and you understand what like people are looking for in Frisbee, you'll like cut it off more. Because I know last year at regionals where we played y'all just beat us up the four side like over and over again. And I was like, well, I mean, that's the basics of it. Cut under, got the disc, dump it off, another undercut. And like y'all just beat us with the basics and we just couldn't keep up. And so I think if you're super good at the basics and you're really like a fundamental team, a lot of teams will have trouble like keeping up. So I think that's what I said last year about y'all at regionals, is that like y'all were super fundamental. Like y'all knew what was good, y'all knew what to do, what not to do. And y'all just beat us with the fundamentals. It was nothing crazy. It was nothing, no crazy over the top hammers and no crazy long shots. It was just the simple stuff.
I love it. Learn the fundamentals. Great piece of advice there. And Connor, this kind of brings us to the close of this interview here. I just want to open it up though. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I'm very excited for the spring. And I cannot wait for regionals. One of my goals for this year as well. So this is kind of like a harp on me, so I can throw the disc pretty far, and I like shooting it deep. And so at Cowbell, we have, so this is on the jacks, is that we have like goals for a tournament. So everyone posts like three goals, like I want to have less than five drops and I want to have 10 assists. And so one of my goals was I want to have 20 assists. And so, and that weekend I had 26. And so I was like, okay, so now one of my goals for the spring is to average 20 assists a tournament. So I want to do that throughout the spring. What happened, I don't know. But for each tournament, I want to have at least 20 assists a tournament. So
I respect it. You heard it here first on the Breakside Podcast. Run out there, put the Southeast region on notice. Connor's gunning for y'all. But Connor, thank you so much for your time here. Thank you for your insight into the Union team there, Jax, and your goals, your aspirations for this season, and just honestly cheering you guys on. Wish you all the best, and I'll be following from a distance, see what regional shapes up to be. So once again, just thank you for your time here.
Hey, thank you for having me, and we'll definitely see how regional shapes up, and maybe I'll make it or us. We'll see.
There you go. It's a tough field out there, but just again, thank you so much. And for those out there, make sure you check out the Breakside on Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And that brings us to the end of episode 32. This is David Adamitis with Connor Rigby of Union Jacks. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.